One can recall in this connection an incident which I've referred to in the past more than once, the incident of Mahaprajapati, who was the foster mother of the Buddha, the Buddha's aunt. She became, after the Buddha's enlightenment, a disciple, a follower of the Buddha. She became a nun. She tried to practice the teaching. She tried to learn the teaching. But she became confused. The Buddha had so many disciples wandering about in different parts of India. She met a number of them. She tried to learn what the Buddha's teaching was. One monk said this, one monk said that. One gave this interpretation, one gave another interpretation. So Mahaprajapati Gautami became confused. So in the end she decided to go to the Buddha himself, to learn from the master's own lips what Buddhism was, what the Dharma was, what the teaching was, what the message of the master was. So with great difficulty, she journeyed on foot hundreds of miles, came into the presence of the Buddha, and with clasped hands she asked him, "Lord, what is your teaching? How can we know what is your teaching? There are so many different versions, so many different interpretations. How are we to know which is the correct one? How are we to know what you truly taught? What is the criterion of your teaching, your Dharma?" In other words, she was asking, what is Buddhism? How can we recognize Buddhism? And the Buddha's reply was quite unambiguous. He said, "Whatever conduces to purity, that is my teaching. Whatever conduces to freedom, that is my teaching. Whatever conduces to decrease of worldly gains and acquisitions, that is my teaching. Whatever conduces to simplicity, that is my teaching. Whatever conduces to contentment, that is my teaching. Whatever conduces to individuality, that is my teaching. Whatever conduces to energy, that is my teaching. Whatever conduces to delight in good, that is my teaching." So we see the kind of criterion that the Buddha gives. It's a pragmatic criterion. There's no mention of any particular doctrine. This is very important. He doesn't say the Four Noble Truths are my teaching. He doesn't even say the Noble Eightfold Path is my teaching. He doesn't mention any particular doctrine or practice. He indicates a trend. He indicates a tendency. He indicates a development. No mention of any particular doctrine, particular practice. He says, in effect, that whatever conduces to the spiritual growth of the individual, to the spiritual development of the individual, whatever works out in practice in this way, that is the Buddha's teaching. Not this specific formulation, not that specific formulation, but the spirit of them all, the spirit that works through, that breathes through them all, the spirit of development, of evolution, of progress, of growth. And this pragmatic criterion laid down by the Buddha himself is a criterion that we should not be afraid to apply. We should not be afraid to apply this criterion even to those doctrines and practices which have come down to us as part of the Buddhist tradition. The Buddhist tradition is a very old one, a very ancient one, 2,500 years old. Coming as it has done down the stream of time, Buddhism has gathered, we may say, many accretions. There have been many developments which perhaps nothing to do with the spiritual life. They all come down to us at the present. We're confronted by numberless traditions, numberless presentations of the teaching, all found as part and parcel of Eastern Buddhism. We have, as it were, flowing in upon us the traditions of Indian Buddhism, of Chinese Buddhism, Japanese Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, Mahayana, Theravada, Zen, Tantra, so many teachings, so many practices. But we mustn't be afraid, as I've said, we mustn't be afraid to apply to them all as they confront us, as we confront them. We mustn't be afraid, we mustn't hesitate to apply to them this criterion that the Buddha has laid down. We have to ask ourselves regarding them the great question, do they really help? They may be very great, they may be very beautiful, they may have helped many people in the past. But the question that we must ask and answer is, do they help us now? Are they of any assistance to us now in the process of following the higher evolution? And I would say that we must not hesitate to reject whatever does not help us, does not assist us in that process of the higher evolution, or at least should not hesitate to put it aside, at least for the time being. Though, of course, all the time we should make sure that we are not putting it aside simply because we do not want really to evolve, to develop. Now, all this brings me, quite incidentally, to a rather important point. It isn't directly connected with the subject matter of the lecture, but it might be appropriate to mention it now. Many of you know that I personally have had now some 5 years' experience of teaching in the West, after some 20 years of experience in the East. That is an experience of teaching Buddhism. And I must say that in the course of these 5 years of teaching or trying to teach Buddhism in the West, I've come to certain quite definite conclusions. It's quite clear, it's quite obvious to me that there are some traditional teachings and practices of Buddhism which are helpful in the West, which are of assistance to us in following the path of the higher evolution. And it's equally clear that there are some traditional teachings, doctrines, practices, which are not helpful to us in the West in that particular way. And I feel, therefore, that the time has come for us to consolidate all the helpful things into a single, as it were, intensive practical course with exercises. And the theoretical background, the theoretical foundation of this course will be some, at least, of the principles explored and expounded in this particular course of lectures. And at present I'm giving quite serious thought and consideration to this matter, that is to say, to the working out of this single, intensive, practical course with exercises. And it may be possible to put it into operation next year, perhaps at one of the retreats, perhaps on some separate occasion. But let us get back to our subject.